Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to AM 1230's. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Yeah, Roy's here today.
I'm here.
Can you hear me, Matt? Is it too loud out there? Is it too loud? No, turn it up!
I need more.
That's right.
In my headphones.
Dig, that's Jimi Hendrix 35 years ago. I'm looking at pictures of this horrible wreck, Daytona. Roy and I were talking about it before.
I thought you meant Monte Teo.
Monte Teo later. Not much later.
He's got a good-looking girlfriend.
Yeah, she's... well, you know what was funny is there wasn't anybody. You know, he was real late for his presser, and
did he lie about it?
What it was there were just people there. There were plenty of people there. You just couldn't see them. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I've had a pretty weird weekend. It's been just a weird week in general. This crash is bizarre because, first of all, nobody's looking for a crash on the last lap of a race. Everybody's standing up, everybody's on the fence, and that's where you get hurt. And Matt told me that a tire hit this guy, like, right in the chest. I mean, just hit him head on.
28 feet.
He's obviously the guy that's in critical condition because...
He's a 14-year-old.
Well, you know, how do you live through a tire going 200 miles or 180 miles an hour? I mean, that's got to hurt.
Apparently, they're
really
all stable.
Drunk and your body absorbs
yeah,
things.
But, you know, it's not funny. This kid's probably on life support.
No, apparently, they're all stable now.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you're reading?
Apparently.
So you figured something out today. Roy went out last night. He came in this morning, and he looked good, let me tell you.
I still look good.
Haley, don't let him drink so much next time he goes out, will you, please?
I actually didn't really drink that much. I just don't drink anymore, so.
That's you know why? You're getting older, and you're getting smarter, and you're saving money. The only way to, if you're going to drink cheap beer that's like, you know, $2 a six-pack.
That is the worst advice ever.
I did order
drink good beer, and you won't be hurt the next day.
But you won't have any money either.
I had Natty Bo, actually, last night.
Oh, my God, National Bohemian.
I'm smart.
Yeah,
I'm on that budget.
I saw a picture of Carling Black Label, which is also, I think, a Maryland beer.
Which one?
Carling Black Label. It goes back into the 40s, 50s, and 60s, but we used to call it Panther Pee. Because that's basically it had a picture of a panther on all the ads.
We had Mother's 60%. Milk, which was Milwaukee's Beast, as we called it, or Best.
Beast Ice.
For all of you people who want to know actually what it's called.
Well, Roy,
Milwaukee's Best.
Roy,
we called it Mother's Milk.
We're trying to figure out who caused this accident.
I thought it was Danica.
Well, yeah, but evidently it wasn't. It was some other dude. The guy that was leading at the time.
It looked like Danica.
It was probably her color.
That's
colors.
Her car right there, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, that's her.
We need some rednecks
right
to call in. Set us straight.
I'm not a redneck. I just need somebody to call in that knows about NASCAR. That's her. Wow. She's a black 7
car. Hey, give us a call, would you? Please, 240-317-7294.
If you guys saw it live.
We're not really big NASCAR people.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When I'm in my truck, I look like I'm in a NASCAR race.
I honestly didn't even know it was yesterday. I thought it was today. I thought NASCAR
Sundays. Well, the big race is today. That was nationwide. The way it works is Saturday is like the JV.
Well, yesterday was Danica, wasn't it?
Well, I think she's – no, well, Danica's today. She's on the pole.
Danica is
on the pole, and that is legit.
So then that's
there are
why...
two girls. This is the first time in the history of NASCAR
two
girls have been on the front line, front row, for a race, Danica Patrick and Jeff Gordon.
That's pretty awesome. Then that's why I thought it was Danica – because it's the 7 car.
Yeah, but it's not.
If it's nationwide.
Yeah, it was nationwide.
Then
it was JV.
Then Danica's not in the 7 car, obviously, in two different races.
His name was Reagan Smith.
Okay.
He tried to block Brad Keselowski for the win, triggering a horrific pileup that could have been a lot worse.
Then that makes sense. Okay. See, I haven't watched that much.
The one guy got hurt real bad. because a piece of metal basically hit him between the hip and the knee and literally almost took his leg off, and his brother used his belt as a tourniquet. And it saved his leg, from what I understand.
Stuff everywhere, man. That's, I mean, very, very tragic. Very, very tragic.
So anyway, that's bad. But, you know, we're going to be watching the big race today because Danica's on the pole.
I honestly...
And, I mean, anytime Danica Patrick, you know, all those commercials, you know, with GoDaddy, with all her girlfriends that look pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about pole and Danica, I just kind of get a little excited. I can't help it. Matt is telling me to move on. Anyway, the other thing we want
to
talk...
We're trying to talk a little NASCAR. We're just trying to be diverse.
Yeah, we're just trying.
About,
you know,
Matt.
I mean, you know, it's in Daytona, too. Now, let me tell you, if you've ever been to Charlotte, that whole place reeks.
See, I didn't even know Daytona was
you
in Charlotte.
You can go 110 miles an hour. You can almost go 100 miles an hour from Greensboro all the way to Charlotte, and people pass you.
So Daytona... Because
they think they're at the races.
Daytona's in Florida, right?
Daytona's in North Florida. It's actually southern Georgia.
You're scaring me there for a second,
it's
man.
Freezing.
Talking about Charlotte and Daytona, I thought that I was just completely out of it this morning.
Well, this is Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're getting desperately close to March Madness.
Yeah.
And
New Mexico, man. I'm telling you, New Mexico is a sleeper this year. And Zag, I'm dead serious about
some guy had 10 threes for New Mexico.
10 three-pointers.
How many points?
His name's Kendall Williams. He had 46 points.
Who are they playing?
Colorado State.
Well, you know what? There you go. Colorado,
Colorado State's
legit.
Good, too. They're like number 23 in the country or something.
They're
like
legit.
That.
Yeah. The Colorado Buffs aren't very good.
No.
God, their football team isn't very good either. But I love Mike McCartney.
Not much comes out of Colorado.
Whose dad used to coach here.
They're all still high over in out in Colorado.
Well, no, they're just and if they're not, they're starting to learn how.
Yeah.
Because it's legal evidently
yeah,
there
you
now.
Can do whatever you want.
What is going on with that?
I don't know.
I mean, here's what I don't understand. We, you know, the government's trying to get everybody to not buy guns. They don't want anybody except the outlaws and the police and the militia who's going to round you up and throw you in a. And sequester you. That's a pretty interesting choice of words there. I like the sequester stuff that's going on in Congress. I love it. There's no, and I'm not talking politics here.
Yeah, I can't talk politics.
But you can listen.
I can listen, yeah.
There is absolutely,
no rebuttal, sir.
Hey, it is nobody's fault in the White House, even though he's our leader. But the fact that people are getting furloughed now, including the Army, including the Marine Corps, including the fact that all these government workers are getting furloughed and they're having to take days off, that's not the president's fault. Well, who's our leader if he ain't our leader? Come on, man. If you're going to lead, lead. Don't just point fingers and blame everybody. You know, you sound like an NFL owner, for Christ's sake. You sound like Jerry Jones. Even Jerry Jones doesn't do that, does he? Jerry Jones knows he sucks. Hey, we're going to have Sherry and Williams.
Does Jerry Jones know he sucks?
I think that he has a pretty good idea because it's been a while.
He may have a
The last
suspicion.
Time they went to a Super Bowl, Roy,
he just wakes
he had
up,
brown,
looks in the
he
mirror.
Had, the last time.
I still
hey,
suck.
He was
don't
still.
I?
Roy, he was still coloring his hair the last time they went to a Super Bowl. His hair is whiter than mine now. And he doesn't even bother trying to cut.
Well,
color.
Does he. I mean, did he fire himself? He didn't hire.
No,
he
hasn't
fired himself.
Right? He hasn't even fired his lousy coach yet.
Did he hire himself for a new position?
No,
is he something?
They
new
do
this
need
year?
A GM though. But you know, they did fire. I'll give it to him. They fired Orion, and that's worth talking about. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Anytime you fire Orion, it's
well,
a good day.
Where is he now? He got a job.
Yeah, he's in. Isn't he a Ram now?
Is he? Is he with the Rams?
He's the Saints defensive coordinator. Goofball. He's what? Working for Sean Payton. But what? Try not sleeping all the time. Look it up.
I may
look
or may not have known that.
Pull the Saints up. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce
so
Hall's Second Opinion.
Right,
and we're going to be back in a minute with more of what Roy doesn't know.
Turn that up.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey both went a perfect 7-for-7 in the gauntlet drill at the combine.
You would have been, and he ran a 4.25, which was... 100th of a second away from Chris Johnson's 4.24.
Freakish.
which makes him almost the fastest guy ever. I sent out a tweet earlier today, and I said Tavon Austin was my favorite guy. And
he's been my favorite guy.
Hey, let me just tell you something. I like him. I even listened to Geno Smith. It was hard to listen to him, but I listened to Geno Smith.
What did he run? Interviewed.
He wants to. They haven't run yet.
They haven't run yet. They're tomorrow.
Wants to run somewhere between a 4.5 and a 4.6, and he'll be happy. Geno
That'd be fast
said.
For him. He's not really that fast.
No, but he's working. He's
quick.
Yeah, but he's got those strides, man. He's got six legs.
Something like that. Yeah.
He's the thing I liked about him was the thing I didn't like about him was every answer was the same answer. I've got a lot to work on. But having said that, he seemed like a nice kid.
He's a very humble guy.
He seemed like a real nice kid. He just needs to talk more than he'll be able to talk. Tavon Austin is from Dunbar in Baltimore.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be something if the Ravens? He isn't going to last that long.
He won't.
You think he's going to go in the second round? I think he's going to go mid to late first round.
If he goes in the first, I mean, look, I want him to go to.
Wouldn't that be great if Baltimore got him?
I wish nothing but the best for Tavon Austin and Stephen Bailey. I love both.
You think about it, they could use him because you know they don't know if they're going to re-sign our boy.
Bolden.
Yeah.
The Maryland University.
You mean the University of Maryland?
The Terps.
There you go, the Twerps.
College Park.
I was there yesterday.
Were unable to get Tavon Austin in their recruiting. You know, they caught so much shtick for not going after Tavon Austin and not going off after what's the old running back, Steve Slayton, also a Baltimore guy. And that was the whole thing about Maryland. They couldn't recruit the
local
kids.
Well, you got to remember, Maryland went through three head coaches in 5 years.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, who the hell would...
One Baltimore area.
They were better off not going there. Listen.
One Baltimore area team is already passing this guy. The Ravens are going to do it.
Whatever. Look, Tavon Austin is where he needs to be. He's playing for a maniac who loves to move the ball.
He's a freak. I love Tavon Austin.
Yeah, but talk about the head coach at West Virginia again. The guy with a drinking problem needs a 12-step program, but he is absolutely a
Dana Holgeritaville.
Great off. Tell me he wouldn't be a good offensive coordinator in the NFL.
He was a freak.
I don't think he's a
coordinator for where was he? Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. He was the offensive coordinator when the 49ers wide receiver was there. What's his name? Michael Crabtree.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the guy knows football. You know, he knows offensive football, and he had two of the best weapons at wide receiver last year.
Well, Crabtree went to Texas Tech, right?
Yeah,
he's well, Texas Tech. You know who started all that stuff? He must have been the offensive coordinator for the guy who is now at Washington State, the head coach that basically was suing the NCAA, and I think they settled on a number. Oh yeah, well, I mean, he was the guy. Remember that. Some famous – I'm trying to remember the guy from SMU, Craig James. He took Craig James's son, who was injured at the time, put him in some kind of a shed outside and left him in the dark because he had a slight concussion.
Oh, the ESPN? Yeah. His son or whatever?
Yeah, and Craig James went crazy. Craig James is a – You know, he's
yeah,
no,
the guy tweet,
he's
a
nobody
picture
you'd
or
even he's nobody you'd invite.
He I don't would, think he was.
He
there.
Was the worst half of the Eric Dickerson duo. They called him the Pony
Leach,
Attack.
That was Leach.
Yeah. Leach. And Leach is a great coach. And Leach is the guy that basically made all of the did that offense. They went to eight straight
bowl
games.
He was the OC at Texas Tech for a little bit. And then he went to Oklahoma State.
Well, no. He was the head coach at Texas
Tech. I'm talking about Holgorsen.
Yeah. Well, you know, Holgorsen, I like. The thing I like the most about
him
is when he pulls off his headphones and chucks them, and they're like a boomerang. It looks like a bungee cord. They go towards the official, and then they come back and hit him right in the chest.
But he had weapons this year, man. He had Tavon Austin, most dynamic player in college football this past year. He should have won the Heisman.
Dana needs somebody to drive him around at night, though, because he can't. He shouldn't drive.
If West Virginia had a better record and they had actually been in a hunt for something, Tavon Austin would have won the Heisman, in my opinion. Tavon Austin.
Well, you know, it would have helped if they hadn't lost like six in a row, too.
It was like five in a row.
Yeah, they. I mean, early on, remember we were talking top 10, Roy, and then later on, we were talking. Are we going to see him in the top 30?
They were number five. They were number five in the country, and then they
early
fell
on.
Out and lost to Syracuse in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Right.
Yay.
So anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit
watch
here.
Watch out for Ford Childress, though.
What's
Ford
that?
Ford Childress next year. Four Childress. He's going to be the quarterback for WVU next year.
Let's do this. Let's talk about the combine a little bit. Now, yesterday they worked out interior linemen, and they worked out tight ends. And there was a tight end that you liked a lot.
Yeah, I got to.
It ran like a 4.5.
I got a pull of his name. I didn't look at his name. I was just watching him do athletic things, and it was ridiculous. I was like, I want that guy. I want that guy to play for my team. He's ridiculous. I'm gonna find him. I'm gonna find him. And
I got my combine tracker on right now. If you go to it, first of all, you know what? Now they're doing wide receivers, which is great. Yeah, here's Tavon 4.25, Stedman Bailey 4.5 from West Virginia. Also,
freak.
Alan Bonner, Jacksonville State 4.47, Josh Boyce from TCU 4.30. Oh, Tyler Bray, the quarterback from Tennessee. He's a speed demon. I think I could run with him 5 flat in a 40. Colby Cameron, a quarterback, 4.66. There's a wideout, Marcus Davis. If you watch Virginia Tech play, this kid can play. He ran a 4.4, not too shabby. See what else we got here. 4.37, Corey Fuller, another Virginia Tech wideout. You know, Virginia Tech gets the guys. They just didn't have. They had a 6'6", 260-pound quarterback.
He's a tight end. You know, he was recruited as a tight end, and then the Frank Beamer turned him into a quarterback. Stupid.
Yeah, here's Marquise Goodwin from Texas. He's the one that tied your boy with a 4.25. And you know, that was handheld too, which is usually slower, which is amazing. The linemen yesterday, there were a couple of offensive linemen that ran 4.7s.
That's fast.
Oh, jeez. That's fast for a fullback. You know, the running back for the Washington Redskins.
We need to get out and run the 40.
No. Well,
we need to do that.
I don't even know if I could literally run a 40. I can limp a 40. I'd probably limp the last couple of strides.
We should have done that. We should have done that this weekend. Just do everything.
Well, you know what we could do? Let's do like.
We should have done it.
Let's do like Rich Eisen. Let's get dressed for work, which is perfect for me because I can wear warm ups anyways. That's what I wear all the time. And we'll go out and run a 40. I'll time you. You time me.
I'm telling you.
There's a track next door. We'll get it on video and put it on the website.
Should we
take Matt with us when we do that? I think we should take Matt because Matt, you know, talks about
it. Matt, can you run a 40?
Matt's related to.
What is the 40, actually?
40-yard dash. It's like from here to your car. Okay? But you don't have to go up. You don't have to mess with the door. You don't have to mess with the stairs.
I'm quite certain that I would put up some pretty good numbers.
I think I'd be faster than both of you.
I don't think.
I have long legs. So
I don't think. I'd
be coughing and wheezing. I'd have my asthma inhaler, but I'd still be like, ha ha, you guys suck.
I'm willing to bet I would run a 5 flat 40. I think that's exactly what I would run. That's what I ran when I was 16. And
yeah,
I bet you'd
run a 5.15.
I bet you I haven't lost a step.
What is the worst?
The best
number
I ever
in the
ran
combine?
Was a 4.65. I ran a 4.65 with the pads. And I did it when I was wrestling, and I was down to like 160.
You ran a 4.640 with
pads
on.
I ran a 6.5. No. When I say pads, I mean the pads you step on to start it and step on to end it.
Okay.
And I did it while a guy was getting his doctorate.
You were talking about shoulder pads.
No, the only reason.
Come on now, Bruce.
No, when I played football, I probably ran a 4.7, 4.8 because I played football 190 pounds. Mm-hmm. I ran that 4.65 when I was wrestling my junior or senior year for a guy named Gugu Gant, mm-hmm. who actually was getting his doctorate degree in physiology of anatomy. And he used all...
It was at ECU?
Yeah. It was in the hallway. Ran it on friggin' tile, which was, you know, not much fun. But the thing of it is that I'm never 165 pounds except during wrestling season. So I was light. So, I mean, if I kept my weight down around 165 or 70 pounds, I'd have been a speed demon.
See, I was never fast. I mean, I never broke.
I know your dad. He wasn't ever fast.
I never broke a 6-minute mile.
Your dad was a wide receiver.
I never did.
And a defensive back. Yeah. But he wasn't real fast. He was just a good football player.
He was a punt returner.
Greg, I just want to let you know you weren't that fast. And by the way,
my little brother's fast.
Not
man.
Very smart either.
Well, your little brother's
not good looking.
Yeah, but your little brother's a freak.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's a freak. How's he doing? Is he doing good?
Yeah, he's doing good.
Christopher, it's good. I hope you're listening to us. I'm sure you are. You're probably still asleep.
He's fast.
Is he still asleep?
My son, he's fast.
Your son's fast. He's like one.
Skip me.
How old is he now? 3?
He's two. He's faster than I am.
I'm this many.
He's fast.
I'm lefty.
So next week, it's on, right? After the show?
Yeah.
Head over
sure.
to the track.
Are you kidding me?
I'll bring my son,
hey,
too.
I need a sponsor. If I'm going to run a 40-yard dash, I need a sponsor. I'm going to get a sponsor because I'm not doing it for free. There's no way.
We'll wear Golden Palace shirts, and we'll just get the money later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just wear a green
shirt. You know what? I could probably get Johnny Harbaugh to come over.
Just wear a blank green shirt, and we'll Photoshop it in.
Hey, I'll get John Harbaugh to come over, because that'll be over. You know, the combine will be over, and I'll just go get Johnny Harbaugh, and we'll bring him on, and he'll do the show with
during
us,
the break.
And he can time us.
During the break, you got to take the Wunderlich test. Did you take it?
Yeah, I'm not very good.
What'd you get?
I did. I don't want to say.
What'd you get?
I don't want to say.
Come on, tell me. What
you I got. Don't take
it. I'd say it's 2 minutes till break, guys.
I don't take. I don't.
I got a 30.
You got a two?
I said 2 minutes to break.
I got a 30. That's better than Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning went to Tennessee. He's
a
freaking idiot.
I got a 30. I'm just saying.
He went to UT, okay?
I'm just saying, that's already one thing on the combine
well, tell
list
me what,
for me that I'm freakishly good at.
You got to tell me where to take it. I tell you what, during the break.
I'll put the list on that. We'll take it over the break.
I'll take
it over the break.
Can you give it to me?
Yeah.
All right, can you give it to me verbally? Because I'm pretty stupid.
No, I'm not going to read you. You have 3 minutes and like 30-some seconds to take 15 questions.
No, it's absolutely.
And they're like,
I love pressure.
And they're like, yeah.
Pressure.
They're really easy questions.
Yeah.
But you're rushed. Like, that's the whole point is you have
you have to think on your feet. It's called chewing gum and walking at the same time. Something that most people I know don't know how to do.
It's like.
Can't do.
It's
Batman
like Mike
can do
makes,
it.
Mike makes.
So you got a bad grade on your Wunderlich, Matt? Matt got a bad grade on his Wunderlich.
I got a 30.
Test.
I've been on a lot of medication this
week. I crushed
week,
it.
So.
I did better than Peyton Manning. That's like my claim to fame.
You know what?
Wunderlich
Jesus.
Test.
Yeah, but crushed you know what? It. The whole idea of the Wunderlich is that it really doesn't tell. Well, Tom Brady was even worse than Peyton Manning. Tom Brady got like
did
a
you,
20-something.
Did you see what Tom Brady looked like at the combine? Well, wonder the guy went the sixth round. He showed up fat and out of shape.
Well, how did he?
He wore boxers.
The first time.
He wore like Joe, cartoon boxers to the NFL combine. Look
whatever.
At pictures of Tom Brady. He looked like an idiot at the combine.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
I wouldn't draft that guy. Knowing I'm like, ooh,
of course
Tom
you
Brady,
wouldn't, and you don't have to worry about it because you'll never be a GM in the National Football League.
Hey, don't say never.
Are we going to be back in a minute?
And
we got 30 seconds. Hey, Roy, you get the Wunderlich together for me.
Yeah.
Matt,
after break,
call the sponsors.
This break,
get the
it.
Sponsors together. This is Bruce Hall. We're going to be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. You're listening to the Bruce Hall. No, you're not. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Bruce
Hall Sports Show's on another channel.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So I promised Matt that I wouldn't tell everybody that I got a 13 on the Wunderlich test. So I will not be releasing
hey, Matt,
those results.
Matt, what did I tell you? Hey, Matt, Matthew, what did I tell you before the show started about Roy? I was right. Milt Sherman, IOC cartoon, Jesse.
So what were you saying there, Roy?
Nah, I don't have any chip on this, man. That's my favorite show.
Roy, drink some water. Roy, here's some water. Drink some water, will you? Clear your throat.
So you got a 13.
I still don't have it here. Roy,
I sent it to you.
Tickets at BruceHallSports.com.
Yeah,
send me an email if you're listening to the show. I don't care if it's X-rated, Z-rated, PG-rated. Send me an email. Tickets at BruceHallSports.com. I'm sitting here looking at an IOC cartoon. Well, you know, we had Kale Sanderson on last week. Two segments. That was great. It was a great interview. Had a lot of fun with him. They're getting ready now. This coming week, they've got the Big Ten Championships. And
Matt, I bet you I could take this Wunderlich test on air right now and do better than the 13.
Oh, jeez.
I bet
so
you I
what?
Could. That's terrible.
So what? You know what? You
is that worse than Vince Young?
Guess what?
It might be worse than Vince Young.
You didn't send it to me because I haven't got
I
it.
I sent it to you, man.
I just don't have it.
Well, you got it.
I hate it when that happens. Send it again.
Tickets.
I want to take the Wunderlich test.
At Bruce Hall.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about, by the way, the New York Mets win a game yesterday, their first game of the spring.
Yeah.
They beat the Washington Nationals,
how much
who
the
won
spring,
the East last year.
How much does spring training numbers, wins, how much does that mean to you?
It means a lot because
how much stock
I,
do you put into a batting average in spring
oh,
training?
Oh, no, I don't put any stock into the averages. I put stock into how they look and how they play. I do put stock into the last couple of weeks of spring training, always do, because they're, you know, let me tell you what spring training is all about. It's all about the pitchers. The hitters, they don't even – they could get ready to play in a week. The pitchers need a month. That's why there's a month to spring training. Because to be able to have a staff that goes 162 games healthy is impossible. So, but to get as close as you can to being healthy for 162 games, everything has to go just right, including spring training. And, you know, these guys carry, you know, they carry 11, 12 pitchers on their active 24-man roster during the season.
Yeah.
I mean, and half their team is pitchers and half their team's not. Some of them carry an extra pitcher, some an extra catcher, some an extra infielder. But the thing of it is that, you know, the pitchers are so important to the game. You can't start the game without somebody throwing a pitch. So, you know, the whole point is if you're going to win, you got to have good pitching, good defense, and you got to be able to score some runs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the most part, it's like anything else. It's like the NFL. I would say this. I would say that baseball spring training is more important than exhibition season football. Because I think football players, for the most part, could go out there if they knew, if they got a couple of weeks, maybe, because they stay in shape.
Well, the preseason.
They stay in shape.
Yeah, the preseason football, everyone talks about how it's more for the, you know, the back people trying to make the squad. You know, it's the backups or the special teamers. And
you didn't send me the Wonderlic test. I still don't have it.
Dude,
I got stuff that was sent at 10:27. Hopefully it'll be here. I really want to take the Wonderlic test.
Tickets at brucehallsports.com.
Tickets, plural. You can't spell. T-I-C-K-E-T-S at brucehallsports.com.
It's 2013. I don't even have to type your whole name. I just write in B-R and you type in.
B-R-549.
Yeah, B-I-549er. Speaking of.
B-R-5.
Speaking of truckers and radios, do you watch Walking Dead?
What's that?
That's like my new question for everybody that I meet now.
What's that?
You watch Walking Dead?
No.
Dude.
I watch.
Awesome.
Hey, Duck Dynasty is the best show on TV.
No.
It's not even close.
Dude, then you haven't seen. You obviously don't watch Walking Dead.
No, I don't.
It's
what is
awesome.
It about?
Zombies.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch a show about zombies.
You need to.
I'm
watch
a nonfiction kind of guy.
You need to watch Walking Dead.
Dude,
it's realistic, man.
But I don't even read fiction. I read nonfiction.
Who said this is fiction?
Oh, stop it. You're talking about zombies? There's no such thing as zombies.
You don't know that.
I do,
you
too.
You don't know that.
You don't know that. I do, too. Tavon Austin is a zombie.
Apparently not. The guy runs like 14.5. That's freakish.
Did you hear what Clark Judge said? He said, some guy told me that if they're that size, they better walk on water. Well, he just ran on it,
yeah,
is what he said.
It's freakish.
That is great.
I knew Tavon Austin was. Tavon Awesome is what we called him at WVU.
Well, do me a favor. Click on there because we might as well. You know, the great thing about them doing the combine during our show is we find out all the neat stuff while it's going on. But let's talk.
It's live right now. I am watching it live.
Hey, let's talk about. I want to talk about Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, by the way, is a pitcher. He was the number one pitcher in the San Francisco Giant organization 2 years ago, and he was traded. When they made the trade, which I thought was a bad trade, Sabes, I'm sorry. I didn't agree with the trade. I don't like the guy. But when they traded for Carlos Beltran, who was, you know, is always hurt. I'm convinced he juices anyway.
Did he get suspended? No.
He wasn't the one. That's Melky Cabrera.
You're right.
Well, there you go. You're trying to tell me that all Latinos look alike? Come on. So anyway, here's the thing. I'm just throwing that out there. But here's the thing about that whole situation. They made that trade for Beltran, and they gave up their number one pitcher in their minor league organization. Now, the San Francisco Giants, Matt's no longer a 13.
You got 26.
So
still worse than me.
So anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is that they gave up a lot to get Beltran. And what does Beltran do? Nothing. He gets hurt, doesn't do anything. He had a great year last year for St. Louis, and he played pretty much most of the season. But they gave up a guy like Wheeler. Wheeler, yesterday, if you want to call it a duel, with Steven Strasburg, he pitched better than Steven. Steven gave up 2 runs in 2 innings, struck out 1 batter, had a little bit of a problem with his control, but he did everything he wanted to do. He was throwing 96, 97. Wheeler, same thing, only this guy is for real. Now, a lot of people didn't know if Zach Wheeler was going to make the big league club. I don't think the Mets can afford not to have Zach Wheeler in their starting rotation. And by the way, how stupid do they look about losing Dickey? Dickey, they say, is right now is throwing as good as he was last year. I mean, how do you not keep a knuckleballer that's 38 years old that has just realized, you know, his fame in the league And didn't he win like an award last year, like Cy Young Award?
Like
yeah.
That. They won some.
So how does Sandy Alderson get away with not making
what
a deal
for him?
They got nothing for
him.
Did
they get anything for him?
Not really. Not really.
I don't understand that.
Now, you know, no, actually, he was a free agent.
Oh, he's a free agent.
Yeah, they had an option on him.
Oh, okay.
They had an option, and they did not offer him the option.
Well,
you know what? That doesn't sound right. No, they did offer him the option.
And, see, I don't know. I don't
and
know
then
much
they
about the deal.
No, then they traded him to Toronto.
See, I don't know much
and they,
about the
what they got was they got some minor league prospects. But you know what? That's not you're not.
You've been getting a lot for our days.
Yeah, but they didn't. Trust me. They would have to get an all-star for him. This guy, not only is he a great guy, good kid, worked hard. I mean, he was.
Published author.
Besides David Wright, he was the story in New York last year.
Oh, yeah.
He was unbelievable. And it was a great book he wrote,
yeah,
too.
I mean, it was a feel-good story around baseball. You know, he was the story not only in New York, he was a story in all of baseball.
If you get the New York Post, there's a great story in there about Wheeler. I like Zach Wheeler. Actually, there's two stories. They got two pages on him. Mike Puma does a story on the game, and Kevin Kernan does a story on Zach himself. Let's talk about the Yankees briefly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about them briefly. I'm picking them to win the East.
You think they win the AL East?
Yeah, because I don't think Toronto does it. They're spending too much money. First of all,
look, if the Yankees are healthy, then there's no real argument there. But that's.
How do you
That's
like
90%?
How do you
right
like
now.
The how do you like the way that Cashman has basically shut up all the talk about Francisco Cervelli and him juicing? I mean, yeah, there's nothing.
Well,
he didn't go to Italy. I mean, in other words, he didn't play for Italy mm-hmm. in the World Baseball Classic
yeah.
which I think is smart. Plus, he's a catcher. He's competing. He's competing with a guy. That caught as a he was the number three catcher for the Giants, off and on for 2 or 3 years. You know, great kid, but Cervelli should beat him out. Should be the starter. They're also you know this is going to be interesting to see how their experiment with Granderson goes because mm-hmm. they're moving him into left field is what I understand.
There's too many question marks surrounding the Yankees for me this year. I mean, look, the talent's there. But for me, to be a good baseball team these days, you have to be consistent. You don't see the team like the Dodgers, for instance, going out and buying up a million people, and then does it play on the field? I mean, I guess we'll see again this year. But last year, it sure as hell didn't play out.
So no, they won the division. They held on at the end. And to be honest with you, I didn't think they'd win. I really thought Baltimore was going to beat them. And then Baltimore gets their.
They do
arguably,
have that.
They got their best hitter.
They have that going for them. I mean, they were hurt. They were banged up all last year. They you know their pitching rotation was up and down.
Right.
And they pulled out. They pulled out the East last year. But I just feel like, I mean, there's just way too many question marks for me. Especially when you have CC Sabathia. That's your workhorse. That's your man. You know, coming under the knife. Even though it was a minor surgery, any surgery is surgery.
No, I hear
and
you.
And you're coming back, so.
Well, yeah, but Jeter looked good yesterday. I mean, you know, he got a couple of hits yesterday.
But how many years left does Jeter have?
I'd say 2 or 3. Look, he had
a shortstop.
Listen to what I'm telling you. Maybe not. I mean, maybe he plays third base. Maybe he plays first base. Jeter would be a great first base.
Look, I love Derek.
They need to let if Teixeira doesn't hit again, they need to get rid of him. But they also need somebody at first base getting 30 to 40 home runs in that stadium. In that mm-hmm. stadium. Now, listen.
And is Teixeira going to come out with his? You know,
who knows?
His 221 batting average in the first month again?
I don't care. I really don't care. I mean, you know, he's whatever Teixeira does isn't going to be good enough for the New York fans anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, he should have signed it. He should have signed in Baltimore like everybody wanted him to. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors. Are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a few minutes with Bruce Hall's second opinion. We're going to have Dave Johnson of the Baltimore Orioles. He's with Masson Sports Network. He may call in from Florida. He just got there this morning. Be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's second opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, Here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So Bruce finally found the link. It was in a spam.
Yeah, but it was in my spam where it belonged, coming from Roy.
So
look, you know, here's the deal.
The number to beat 30.
How do I move this into my in-mail?
What?
I'm just...
Just open the link,
I'm brain dead. I don't know. I just opened the link. It's not letting me do it.
How do I do
It's not letting
this?
Me do it. Nobody's
This is a look behind the curtains of what it's like to deal with Bruce and computers.
Yeah, I mean, computers suck.
He knows his numbers.
They're horrible.
Freaking
horrible.
It is suicide worthy.
Speaking of computers, did you see that thing that Google's coming out with, that Google Glass?
Oh, yeah. It's been around for a while.
It scares me.
It scares you. It's awesome.
No.
Although I will say it will fail.
Now, let me
I will
ask
call
you a question.
It now. You it will
so?
Fail.
Bruce, gonna, have you seen that?
You know, but here's the thing. If we're going to do the Wunderlich test,
I already did it. I crushed it.
Yeah, but here's what... I'm sure I'll crush it. I'm sure I crushed your SAT scores with
you
my
think,
SAT
you
scores.
You think that you can be...
What'd you get on your SAT scores there,
1020. Yeah, took it once.
1149 first time, 1249 second time.
I took it once.
And I... Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean...
Well, I got a 30 on the Wunderlich test, bro.
Yeah, but
what'd you get?
I don't know.
I was doing it on the iPad.
I can't get it.
It's right there, man.
I know, but it's not... Look.
Just double-click the link.
I just did.
You're
Dude, here you go. It's not happening. It's not happening. You're listening to Bruce Hall's second opinion. I told you it's not happening.
Well, you got to move it into the...
You know what? Since we have people...
Roy, just get up.
Roy,
go sit down.
Since we have people that are listening to the show,
uh-huh.
Let's take the Wunderlich test orally. So you ask me the questions, and I'm not going to I'm not going to be able to go as fast as you, so my score will be less, but at least I probably will, because you can't talk very fast.
I think part of the
test
is
reading.
Part of the test
is reading and recognition.
You have to read the test. Here, you want to take it on my computer?
Will no,
make you feel better?
I'll take it later. I'll take it. I'll take it with our long break.
You got to take it now, man.
Well, let's do this first. Here,
just set it up on your computer, and we'll do it at the next hour.
11, whatever.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to pull up the top 10 in NCAA basketball.
You're gonna get a 12 on it.
And I want to talk. Do you know what? Did you watch the Indiana game this week?
And you're gonna blame it on the
Did you watch the Indiana game? Hungover boy
this week. Which one?
The one where that guy was just unbelievable. It looked like David Thompson. He was jumping out of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name, but Indiana, in my opinion.
They beat Michigan State?
Yeah, they have. In my opinion, yeah, they beat.
Michigan State.
Yeah, but the head coach for Michigan State is who? Exactly. And he.
I mean, exactly. What's his name, Bruce?
He's best friends with the former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers.
He's best friends with them?
Yeah.
Mike Singletary?
They're best friends. The 49? No.
Mike Singletary would be the former coach of the 49ers.
Yeah, that would be the guy long after the guy
Which
I'm
one?
Thinking
Which
about.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about the guy that was the quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers. Come on, what's his name? He's a former wrestler, too.
Tell
He's
me,
got
bro.
Black curly hair.
Nolan?
No, it's not. Jeez.
You're just making stuff up now.
No.
Jimmy Johns.
You're kind, no,
Stone.
You're kind of an idiot, aren't
his
you?
His name is, oh my gosh.
Steve Mariucci is his name, goofball.
Michigan State coach,
See, you wouldn't
man.
Know Mariucci. You're 26 years old. You were like
Mariucci.
7 when he was the head coach of the 49ers. He was actually Brett Favre's quarterback coach. Mike Holmgren was the head coach in Green Bay. Andy Reid was like the offensive coordinator. Morty Morningweg was
Brett
involved
Favre's
in that team.
Quarterback coach was?
Steve Mariucci.
No.
His name is Steve Mariucci.
It was Gruden. Was it Gruden?
No,
who was it?
You know what Gruden did? He broke down tape for that team.
He was
like an intern. He was an intern.
Sure
Steve Mariucci. You know who Mooch is, right? His nickname's Mooch.
Yeah,
he's got a big old like bald spot on top of his head, but he's got a lot of hair besides that bald spot.
I'm really trying to think of the Michigan State coach.
Well, he's his best friend.
Drawing a blank.
Yeah, well, he's only like one of the most successful head coaches
really
in the history of basketball. And you're my NCAA guy, so look him up. You'll find him.
I mean,
Wunderlich. It's unbelievable. Only you would send me a Wunderlich test I can't pull up.
Dude,
unbelievable.
All you have to move.
I can't move it, Roy. Here. You
right
move
click
it.
It, dude. Oh, dude, I'm going to do here, it in 2 seconds.
Yeah, let's see you move it. All right, here we go. Go.
Don't
Ready,
look behind
go.
The curtains.
Oh, how'd you do that?
Keep talking. So.
How did you
at
do
least
that?
Something.
So Roy is pulling up the link on Bruce's computer right
not
now.
Not really. He's struggling. He's
pulling
trying. Everything else up my computer.
Oh, please.
Oh, now he's got colors. He's color coding them.
This could be
did
interesting. What do you find
that's good
on
right
Bruce's
there.
Computer?
I like that.
My guess is it's a naked picture.
Roy got it. How did you do that?
Because I'm not an idiot.
No, well, I am an idiot when it comes to computers. Are you smarter than a football player? Tell everybody what the link is.
It's I don't know.
Yeah, it's something.
Just Google Wonderlic test. This is the 2013
start quiz. I'm going to do it right now. Here we go.
We'll tweet it out. I'll tweet it out.
All right. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go through the top 10. Mm-hmm. You talk about it. Talk about who's in the top 10. Talk about who you think is going to be there at the end of the conference championship tournament.
Tom Izzo.
He's his best. Yeah. How many lifetime wins does Tom Izzo have? Like
a lot.
700 or something?
I can't believe that I didn't know.
Can't believe you didn't know Tom Izzo either, Roy. Craig's nine, sister's
like
twice
idiot.
As old, and Craig is.
Dude, you better realize faster than that, man.
Quietly.
So, order was restored in the ACC as Wake Forest beat down on the U. Miami University, who was the number two ranked team in the country. Wake Forest beat them 80-65. So Miami will drop. Duke has already dropped.
It's not working.
Dude, it's working.
I will interrupt now here and say that I'm more than anything, Maryland beat Duke. So that's
dude,
all that matters.
The ACC is so down this year. And everyone was the hype.
I don't know anything else about college basketball, but I know that.
I mean, everyone was hyping up the ACC this year. UNC, I don't even think UNC is ranked this year. Duke is like 5 or 6. They've fallen. Miami is going to be right down there with Duke now. I had potentially 2 number one seeds coming out of the ACC. Now I don't have any. I have 0 number one seeds. But nobody is good this year. Nobody's great this year. There's no Kentucky.
Here's a question: will Duke come into the Big 12 or wherever Maryland is going just to get that win back? Because he can't let that go.
I'm glad that you asked. Because I actually, there's a new show that we have on SMC Radio, smcradio.com. It's called The Spin Zone with Chris the Dude Lambert. And it's all about expansion. And the rumor has it that.
Oh, no, I messed up.
What'd you get?
Well, I just got all. I don't have my mouse. That screwed me up.
You tried to tweet out.
I did it on an iPad, so you can't.
Sure,
but we broke down. We did an interview with a bunch of different people, some ACC people last show. You can find it at smcradio.com, and we went down basically all the teams. Who's going to jump? And the consensus is that people don't want Duke. Duke is kind of they're the top dog in the ACC, but nobody's going to want Duke because their football is where it is. So the package deal there for it is a lot of people think that in order to get Duke. Or in order
why would they take Maryland when Maryland's football is even crappier?
No, Maryland's football is a lot better than Duke. I mean,
I can't think of them having a good player since Hayward Bay.
They have Maryland has that
hanging out in Oakland.
I can't think of his name right now, but they have that. He's a wide receiver. He's a punt returner. What's his name? You watch Maryland football more than I do.
I watch like one game a season. 5-star
recruit.
Call myself a fan.
He's a local kid, and look, Maryland. Maryland is they're worth a lot of money, you know. They're a big name. They won a national championship in basketball. What, in 2000? That which is fairly recent. I mean, it's not Duke recent, but fairly recent. So, basically, the ACC is going to get picked apart.
And they have to. I mean, you can't go on in the ACC without having a Maryland Duke rivalry. At least in basketball, football. You know,
see that's
who cares?
where we differ because I look, I don't think there is much of a rivalry between Duke and Maryland. I think it's Duke.
Dude,
UNC.
You have never been in College Park after a Maryland Duke game. I'm speaking as someone who's jumped over a flaming pile of
to me, that's where you couches. Get into. That's where you get into the rivalries within the students and within the actual organization. Look, the Maryland students hate Duke, okay, because of the top dog, and Maryland has always looked at themselves as kind of like a little brother syndrome, but. The way that I describe a rivalry, and I guess we're getting away from college football right now, college basketball for 1 second.
I got a 23, but I need a mouse. I exited the entire thing for like 2 minutes. So I'm going to get a 32.
Is 23
eventually.
Better than 30?
Oh, shut up.
Or 23.
Or 27. We got a 13 the first time.
So have you figured out who's number one in the NCAA?
Right now it's Indiana.
Okay. And
Zaga will be number two.
Well, let me ask you this. You think Gonzaga will be there at the end? Are they that good? Have you seen them play?
Yeah, they're real good.
Okay. Who's number three?
Well, right now it's Zaga. But
hey, what is Syracuse? Is Syracuse, they got beat yesterday.
Yeah, they lost to Georgia.
It was the last game in the Carrier Dome. I guess they built a new complex. What? Of course, you didn't know this either.
It's not the last game in the.
It's the last game that they're going to play Georgetown.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, Syracuse.
Are you sure?
Syracuse is going to ACC.
Are they really?
Yeah.
God, why?
It's one thing you didn't know.
Why would they be going to the ACC?
Well, yeah, you want to talk college expansion? I got a guy who is an extreme insider on college expansion. If you really want to get into it.
Yeah.
Do you want to get him on?
No. Not if he's a friend of yours.
He's. I mean, he writes for me.
Oh, well, there you go.
But he also wrote for. Years authority on the what is it, Fox Sports Yard.
All right, who's number four? Who's number four?
Because
I'm trying to get into the.
Well, number four didn't play. So number five, Florida, they beat Arkansas, Arkansas, and Georgetown was the next. They're the next ranked team to play yesterday. Georgetown beat Syracuse.
Yeah,
57.
So they should. They might move up a spot.
And that's
or
another
two.
Rivalry we're losing to college expansion.
Well, we're losing Duke Maryland. See, I was at Maryland yesterday.
I think that's a rivalry, man. Look, a rivalry to me is.
Trust me, it's a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry.
That's
man.
A rivalry.
No, it's a rivalry to the Maryland.
It's
people.
Not as big as the Carolina Duke rivalry.
You think you go to Duke and the Duke students are tailgating and they're camping out for Maryland to come to town?
No, they're not. Nah, but I can tell you what
cares about Maryland.
I can tell. Well, you know what? They do camp out almost for every home game. You know why?
Yeah, because
they can't get tickets any other way.
Yeah,
they make them wait in line. They make
it's
them wait
very,
in line.
Yeah, it's a very small arena.
There
stadium,
were
whatever you want to call it.
There have been times.
High school gym
in the,
size.
There, no, but there have been times in the last 20, 25 years ever since Coach K came there. Mm-hmm. In the I want to say his first years were probably the early 80s, like right around 1980, 81. But when he first came there, they struggled for 2 or 3 years, and then they finally started winning, and the rest is history. The thing I hate about Duke the most, they just complain all the time to the referees. Bitch, 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 bitch.
Well, if you want to hear about college expansion, you can go to smcradio.com, or you can go on iTunes, search for SMC Radio Network, and you can listen to The Spin Zone. We had
$100, please, Roy.
We had McMurphy.
You're listening to Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. We'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to talk a little bit more about college basketball. We're going to talk about the NBA. We're going to talk about the NHL, and we're going to talk about the Combine.
Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So Bruce got 23 on the Wunderlich test.
I got 23 because I wasn't using a mouse, and I actually...
Currently lowest in the room.
I pressed the wrong button and got off the test completely for about 2 minutes.
So...
But it's still higher than Cam Newton.
It's true.
So maybe Cam just...
Is it higher than Cam Newton? What'd you get?
He got a 21.
When they... yeah, is that what it said?
Like yeah, when let you me got tell you. Score? I mean, you got to be fairly smart, and all the questions were easy, but
crushed
problem
it.
Was is I was using
crushed.
My fingers instead of my mouse. Oh, I'm just sitting here trying to see what's going on. Tavon, yeah, we already know that. We already know that. We know all of this. Oh, by the way, I saw Ian Rappaport early this morning talking about the you know... I love Sean Salisbury. Sean Salisbury, he gets on Twitter this mm-hmm. week, and he's watching, you know, the first day of the combine, and he's like, you know, he's like, ah, this is great. They could put a dog on there and have him run the 40, but he'd be playing on all fours. I mean, most football people think
well, that happened. They, in
yeah,
Air Bud.
Yeah, but here's
true
the
story.
Thing. Yeah,
a documentary?
True story.
It's a documentary.
Did you see it on the internet? You read about it on the internet.
It's a true story I just made up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He was drafted by the Bills.
Well, anyway, we're gonna talk about, hey, the San Francisco Giants, the world, excuse me.
Drafted by the Browns, that's
the
why
world championship San Francisco Giants. Hey, he's still doing it, Matt. Every time he says something, he looks.
He's the only one
to laugh.
He
looks over at you to make sure somebody's laughing because I'm not.
That's your cue, Matt. Come on, I gotta prod you. It's because you don't laugh. I feel like
I'll get you guys a laugh track to
half
push.
The thing.
When you say stuff like, funny, I laugh my butt off.
We gotta keep the buttons over there though, because Bruce couldn't get the buttons right, and he had to wait too much fun.
I'm sitting here trying like all I'm trying to do right now is get my scores for Major League Baseball's first day yesterday. I can't even do that.
You can't do that.
No, I'm having a rough time today, and I'm not even going to tell you how bad yesterday was, because yesterday was really tough. And I'm not going to talk about it this weekend. I'm going to talk about it some weekend, though. Let me just see. MLB.com. I love this. The nice thing about MLB.com is you do get the scores every day. Every day. Here's your scoreboard from yesterday.
It is a good thing, Bruce.
It is a good thing. Problem is they take the damn things off at 11 o'clock, and you can't see what the scores were for yesterday.
Yeah, you can.
So let's look at the standings.
There's a button.
Let's look at the standings. Oh, here we go.
What, do you want to look
at? Cleveland's played two games already. Hey, by the way, the Cleveland Indians.
I love the fact that baseball's back.
Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be rooting for them.
No, right? Not me.
Terry Francona's coaching the team. They brought all these guys in
to make a
difference.
Yeah.
But you know what? They still don't have pitching.
Well, you know they're going to be good. I bet you they're good, not this year, but next year, because
it takes longer than 1 year to get better.
Well, they fired Manny Acta, step one.
Yeah.
Step two,
yeah.
Be better this year.
Yeah.
Step three, win the division then the year after. That's a trend with Manny
Acta. they're gonna get more wins in Detroit. I don't think
That's the Manny Acta trend.
It's not gonna
Nationals
happen.
Fired Manny Acta.
Yeah, but the Nationals had great players in their minor league system.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're just saying fiction. The Yankees won yesterday. Yankees won yesterday. Toronto won yesterday. Detroit's 1-1. Let's see what else we got going on here. I'm leaving the 17th for Arizona. I'm going to spring training where I'll get tons of great interviews, and I'll be sending them back. I'll be doing a show out there for 2 weekends, which is going to be a lot of fun. Hey, and I missed all the snow. They got 4 inches of snow in Scottsdale last week. What's up with that? It doesn't even rain there, and they got snow? Now, they get snow in Flagstaff. It's like...
It's snowed in Arizona?
It's like four... Yeah, it's, well, it snows in Flagstaff all the time, but that's like 5,000-6,000 feet above sea level. In the desert, it never snows. They got 4 inches during a golf tournament in Tucson last week. It's unbelievable. Hey, the White Sox won. Houston won. Kansas City still has some good minor league prospects down there working out. They won. Toronto won. Detroit's 1-1. Seattle's 1-1. Tampa Bay playing in a gym. They're 1-1. Of course, they're not playing in a gym now. Tampa Bay.
They're actually playing outside.
Tampa Bay's in. Yeah, they actually play on grass during the preseason.
Have you ever been to Tropicana? That's what it's called, right?
Been there one time. I really didn't. Well, look, I can have fun at a baseball game if they play it in a parking lot. Doesn't matter to me. As a matter
did you
of fact,
like the stadium though? I mean, it's a crap hole, right?
Yes, it's horrible.
Is it the worst stadium?
You can't
in
even tell when the ball goes in the air. Yeah. You can't see it.
It's a white ceiling.
That's well, not only is it a white ceiling, I mean, it's just you can't see anything.
Who else plays there that they have to keep it a dome?
Just them.
They're the only team
that
plays there.
They have concerts there. They have a ton of concerts there.
So
it holds like, you know.
So they're a team.
It
in
holds
Florida.
So many people. They can have all the
with
big
no
name
dome.
Bands. The top shelf bands that command 30,000 to 50,000 fans, they have them there.
You think they get in a stadium?
Well, you know, but they don't want one. They number one, first of all, it's more than
money.
It's not really Tampa, it's St. Pete. I'm pretty sure that it's actually in St. Petersburg. And it's like a love hate relationship that's gone on for years with, you know, the people that live in St. Petersburg and the Tampa area and the team. Boston got beat. Minnesota got beat. Oakland got beat. Texas got beat. I really don't think. And look, the team that spent all the money, the LA Angels, that have spent a ton of money, 0-2, just getting started. In the National League, Colorado's 1-0. Miami's 1-0.
Do you think the Angels will be better?
Oh,
this
by
year?
The way, Miami's starting catcher broken collarbone.
Yeah,
not like they were didn't have enough bad news losing all their players. And by the way, they're the owner of that team. Isn't he going to get sued for fraud or something?
Well, they got rid of everybody they had, and then
he got the stadium built.
The old bait and switch.
He got the stadium built. He got the money.
How did he make his millions? I want to see that.
Fraud. I'm just kidding.
Fraud.
For all I know. For all I know.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was like some sort of car salesman or something.
New York
bait and switch.
No, that would be Bud Selig. He's a used car salesman.
Is he really?
Yes. So is John.
Is that your story?
Yes. No. Bud Selig is a car salesman. Not used cars. New cars.
He was or he is?
Still is.
Still is?
He still owns. I'm pretty sure that he and his daughter still run a bunch of car dealerships in the greater Milwaukee area.
That's pretty cool.
Arizona's going to have a tough time. San Diego's going to have a tough time. Dodgers have best team money can buy. They're 0-1. Not that it matters. Philly. Everybody thinks Philly's going to be so much better. They got a 38-year-old third baseman that only played 40 games in a position last year.
I got Philly out of
Michael Young.
I got Philly's out.
Shane Utley's just a matter of time until he gets hurt again.
I mean.
Ryan Howard, just a matter of time until he gets hurt again. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they're like a walking mash unit.
Yeah.
Always.
I mean.
Victorino's gone. He's in L.A., right?
Yeah,
Victorino's gone.
Is he in L.A.?
Yeah, pretty sure.
He was a Dodger.
He was in L.A. last
year, but his contract expired. I'm not sure if they renewed it or not.
Well, why don't you look it up?
I will.
Look it up. Philadelphia.
I was trying to get away from Googling anything.
St. Louis.
This show.
St. Louis, who absolutely went from, you know, just feeling like they died and went to heaven when they beat the Washington Nationals in the last game down 6 runs.
Mm-hmm.
They were down 6-0. Come back and win. Then they're one game away from beating San Francisco Giants in the championship series, and they lose.
Oh, dude, Shane Victorino plays for the Red Sox.
Oh, so he did. He signed with the Red Sox. Yeah. You know, he got like $9 million a year. He's not even that good.
Flying Hawaiian.
Well, you know what? They're terrible.
He's good.
No, he's not. Look at his stats.
Good, man.
Do me a favor. Look at his stats from last year, then tell me he's good.
Well, he was on a really bad team last year.
He's 34, 35 years old. He's not that good. He's actually 34 years old. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here with Roy and Matt. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Waiting on a call from Chris, the dude Lambert, to talk a little bit of college expansion. ACC looks like it's on the verge of collapse.
They're getting ready to hire a athletic director at East Carolina University. Terry Holland, former head basketball coach at University of Virginia when Ralph Sampson was there, and has been at East Carolina for 10 years. He resigned not too long ago. Terry's a good guy, just not a great AD. He's a basketball coach, so he doesn't even know what wrestling is. Steve Ballard is the chancellor. I love Steve. I'm just hoping that whoever he brings in there is wrestling-friendly and we can bring him back in. Is that the phone? Oh, it's
is
Rodney.
Is that our line?
It's Rodney.
No,
what I was...
That guy.
Oh, this is great. It looks like Dave Johnson's going to be calling in.
Nice.
We're going to talk Orioles. We're going to talk... American League East.
Those.
For those of you who don't know Dave, he pitched for the Baltimore Orioles, Pittsburgh Pirates. He is Masson Sports Network's guy in Baltimore. He's going to call in a minute. Roy's got a guy calling in too.
Yeah.
Might be a race to see who calls in, but if Roy's guy calls in, we got to ask him to call back. I'll keep him on this segment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell him to do it now.
But yeah, the big story right now in college sports is the Maryland lawsuit. Maryland is suing.
Oh yeah, tell me about that because I don't even understand.
Well, I don't want to take all of Chris's thunder because he told me.
Oh, that's right,
in.
That's right.
But Maryland is suing the ACC basically for the buyout clause, so they can move to the Big Ten completely. And the Spin Zone this past week had a couple people on, and one of them which was a lawyer, and the lawyer was saying that Maryland doesn't really have a case, and they're going to end up paying probably somewhere around $15 to $20 million to get out, which That's right around what WVU paid to get out of the Big East. And WVU is actually in the red this past year for the first time in a long time. So all this college expansion does come with a price, but a lot of these conferences are going to pick that up, or a percentage of it, to get you in, because, you know, the expansion of TV networks, especially the Big Ten network, is huge. And to grab that Maryland Eastern area, it's big. It's big, right, for anybody. Same with the – that's why UNC and Duke are big right now on people's lists, especially the SEC, because that Carolina network, that expansion of the networks, that's a big network. The ACC, they have the you know, the contract with ESPN, but it's, you know, it's really only two games. It's really the Duke-UNC game and then, you know, a marquee UNC or Duke game throughout the year.
So basically, in 3 years, it's going to be UNC, Duke, and Test Technology Institute in the ACC, right?
Well, you know, it's funny that you talk about that, because there are so many teams that want to get in the ACC over the years, East Carolina being one of them. And, you know, they were like big league East Carolina for years. Now, and East Carolina's got 25,000 undergraduate. They got some of the best grades. I mean, you know, they've got a four-year med school they've had for 30 years. You got a call? I thought you might. Hey, Dave.
Hello.
Dave. Hey, Dave, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, it's Bruce Hall. How are you? We're talking to you. I'm doing great, man. So you're down in Florida. Did you just get in today?
I got in late last night, so I'm down at the complex now.
Did you already play 18 today?
No, you know, I should have respected some rain here today, possibly. I should have got 18 in. That was a mistake on my part.
Well, I miss you every year I go out to Arizona, because we had a blast that 1 year Steven was out there with the Giants. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on the show. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Orioles. I mean, last year they had an incredible year. I mean, Buck Showalter, you know, to not be, you know, manager of the year, in my opinion, was just ridiculous. Although the A's manager did do a good job, he didn't do as good a job as Buck did, I didn't think. What are the Orioles looking like this year? Are they just going to pick it up where they left off last year?
Every day last year, looks at some of the fluky things that I hear a lot of the national reporters talk about. They say, well, this club, you know, they didn't go out and get anybody, and how can they expect to win, you know, 16 extra inning games in a row? You know, the 29 out of 31 run games or whatever the number was. I mean, well, they clearly don't expect to have that type of success. First of all, you hope that you're not in that many one-run games, and you hope you're not in 18 extra inning games. The fact that the bullpen was solid, and everybody coming back in the bullpen is solid, and I think what people don't understand is that this team was a totally different team the last 2 months of the season. In the rotation, they shored up the rotation with Chris Tillman and Miguel Gonzalez, came up from the minor leagues, and obviously Steve made a couple starts and won all his starts down the stretch. You know, this was a team that had four out of the five guys in the rotation opening day, or the opening day rotation. You know, later on, they had one guy left in Bruce Chen. Wei-Yin Chen. So it's a situation where this club defensively was the worst for 4 months of the season, and they were the best the last 2 months. So they did some things the last 2 months of the season that should carry over into this year, and they'd get Mark Gatiss back for a full season. You hope to get Reimold for a full season. This is a guy that hit five home runs and hit over 316 games and never played again the rest of the year. So, you know, Brian Roberts is a question mark, obviously. But, you know, the worst-case scenario is you've got somebody playing second base, batting ninth. You can get away with that.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Dave. Do you think that Chris Davis is going to be the guy at first base? I mean, is he going to be able to put up the numbers that they really want, that they need to see there?
Yeah, I think, you know, offensively, he kind of finally came into his own. He got a chance to play every day, even though he really looked miserable at first base the first month and a half of the season. But he came to Baltimore with the idea that he was a power hitter that could hit the ball out of the ballpark, and he had supposedly a better-than-average first base defense. He didn't show that. When they switched Mark Reynolds over to first Mark played Gold Glove defense over there the second half of the season. He was terrific. And, of course, Manny Machado came up and played sparkling defense for the last 2 months of the season. And when Nate McLeod came in and shored up left field, that's why the club was a totally different team defensively. But Chris Davis is, you know, he's worked hard during the offseason. Defensively, I think he's going to be at least average, if not a little bit above average. He's really was disappointed that he didn't play well defensively. And offensively, I mean, this guy hit over 270 and did 33 home runs. This guy's got real easy power, big, strong guy. Yeah, he struck out, I think, 160 times. So if he's somehow able to strike out, 120, 130 times instead of 160-some, add another 4 or 5 home runs there, I mean, just on contact alone, and this guy's going to be a 30 to 40 home run guy year in and year out.
Now, the guy that I thought did a great job for you down the stretch, and there were so many guys along with that pitching staff, was Nate McLeod. I mean, this was a guy that was looking for a place to play there for a while. The Orioles pick him up, and he was almost like an MVP there for a couple of weeks. He played great. Do you think Nate has still got a couple of good years left in him?
Yeah, what will be interesting, Bruce, is that how much does he get a chance to play? You know, they're going to probably slow play Reimold a little bit coming back off the neck surgery and hope to keep him in the lineup. So they may platoon a little bit, or one may DH and the other one may play left field. McLeod clearly did a great job defensively, but this is a guy that, 4 or 5 years ago, he was a Gold Glove All-Star for the Pirates, and he had some injuries. And then when he got traded to the Braves, he just didn't hit the ground running there. They started platooning him a little bit. And like a lot of guys, it's not unlike, a lot of guys, I guess, in their past, that some guys just don't play well or play to their capabilities when they're platooned. So he got a chance to play every day in AAA last year for about a month. They brought him up, and he played every day the last month of the season. And I'll tell you what, yesterday, into the wind, he hit a ball that would have been out of any ballpark. And he ended up hitting the ball to the warning track. And, the wind blows pretty good out here, down here in Florida during spring training. But he looks like he's healthy again. And if he's healthy, there's no reason. Look, this is he's still a young guy. I think he's only 31 or 32. This is not an old guy. So he's a guy that could really bounce back and kind of resurrect his career. And, you're looking at ifs, but, there's ifs all over this Major League Baseball. It's if this and if that. But this guy's got the skills to do it, and he showed it for 2 months last year. And so far in spring training, he looks good.
Now, let me ask you a question about a kid that everybody's read about for a long time. He's got a brother playing, too, that's awful good. Dylan Bundy has a chance to make this ball club, doesn't he?
He really – I don't think he does, Bruce. I think that a lot of people – no, I think Dylan Bundy starts out in Double-A this year. He's going to get some time up here. They're going to slow play his innings along with Kevin Gausman, their number one pick last year. So you had Bundy and Gausman back-to-back. Bundy's a high school kid. I actually see Gausman getting to the big leagues before Bundy, just because he's 3 years older. He's more mature. He pitched at LSU, and he's got a real good feel for his changeup. He's very mature for his age. And they're going to limit both of these guys' innings. So there's no way they're going to start in the big leagues. I'm saying that they're not wouldn't have the ability to do that, Bruce. But they're going to slow play these guys because they do not want to get into the Strasburg situation where these guys get 160, 170 innings and then they have to shut them down at the end of August, where they're hoping to obviously be playing meaningful games in September and in October. So they're going to slow play both of those guys, Bundy and Gausman, in the minor leagues, probably move one or two of them up to AAA when they dominate AA at some point in time in maybe in May or June. And then, if they're ready to come up to the big leagues, fine. But the way I look at it, Bruce, if Gausman or Bundy pitch in the big leagues before the All-Star break, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong with the Orioles pitching staff.
No, I hear you.
Last year, the Orioles, their MO was one-run games. In Vegas, I think they open them up somewhere around 70 games this year. Do you think that the Orioles can really make a push for the AL East again this year with everything they went through last year? Do you think that the trend can continue?
I'm not a Kool-Aid guy, I tell you, but again, I watch in every inning of every game the last couple of years, specifically last year, more specifically the second half, and I guess more than that, when Machado came up on August 9th, the defense was the best the rest of the year. They were just terrific. So, look, if you throw the ball over the plate and you defend, you got a chance. They were second in the league in home runs last year behind the Yankees. So this is a club that can score some runs. And they had a great bullpen, There's no reason why that the guys in the bullpen can't mix and match and do something similar. I'm not sure anybody can. When you have a great year, it's very difficult, no matter what position or what, you know, whether it's your staff or it's your bullpen or it's your offense, or it's hard to repeat that year in and year out. But I just don't think anybody individually last year did something where you go, oh, that guy will never be able to do that again.
Right.
So I just don't see why, if they don't pitch and defend, and that means just to throw the ball over the plate, give their defenders a chance. This team has a chance to do some really good things.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Dave, can you stick around? We're going to be in a break, and then we'll be right back. Can you hang on for us?
Sure.
All right, that's
sure.
Great. We're on the phone with Dave Johnson. He's the Orioles guy in Baltimore with Masson Sports Network. He's down in Florida now. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS, we'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the phone right now with Dave Johnson in our last segment. Dave, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. Last year, there was a guy that started your opening day for you, Jake Arrieta. And this kid, I mean, it's like sky's the limit. He's a young kid. He's not I want to say he's probably, 26 years old, something like that. But he struggled at times with his command. And then at the end of the season, he came and he started throwing out of the bullpen a little bit, and he did a great job. What do you see Jake's situation being this year with the Orioles?
Well, this is a guy that when you talk about pure stuff, with all his pitches, his build, the prototypical type of pitcher, he's it. I mean, this is a guy that 2 or 3 years ago, when he first made his mark on the big leagues, when he came the first time, I said, you know, you can talk about all the different guys. They had Mattis, they had Tillman, they had all the different guys that were part of the cavalry, so to speak. This was before Bundy actually was even drafted. I was like, man, this guy is going to be a stud. This guy is, his stuff is off the charts. His movement, mid-90s fastball, can get up there to 96, 97. Just great arm action, crisp breaking ball. But it hasn't come together for him, and he ended up having a great spring last year, makes the opening day start, and pitched fantastic. But after that, things just went south. I just talked to Rick Peterson, one of the pitching development coordinator here, for the Orioles, and of course Rick's been big league pitching coach for a bunch of teams, the Mets and the A's, of course. And he was just talking to me about that. You know, I said, you know, I've made some quotes from Arrieta. It just seems like sometimes he just tries to be too analytical about it, that he's thinking too much. And he's like, they found some flaws in his delivery last year. They did the, they have some kind of program that they do, a pitching analyst thing, and when they do the analysis with that, they found some things with Dr. Andrews, and they put this thing together, and Tom House does it with DPI out there in California, and they can see, you know, that look, if he's opening his hips too soon, he's rotating too quickly or too slow, and to what degree and how much stress that puts on guys. And basically they feel that Jake has not had the delivery to be able to repeat, and they feel like they've made some adjustments when he went to AAA last year, came back up and out of the bullpen and pitched better. But it's still, the guy's got to do it. And I'm just wondering, in the end, is it the stuff between his ears, that is he just trying to be a perfectionist and try too hard and be too fine, and he just doesn't let that natural ability come out? Because Jake Arrieta should just go out there and just throw the ball over the plate. His stuff should be good. Here's strike one, here's strike two. I'm not saying blow fastballs, but I mean just throw different pitches and just throw them over the plate and don't walk anybody. And he should be a big winner for a long time. But, you know, Bruce, we've seen guys have been top prospects for years and years. We've seen them for the last 100 years. This guy's a can't miss. This guy, he's prototypical. And some of them never get out of A ball or Double A. So they got to be able to put that physical skills along with the mental part of the game and then be able to go out and do it. And so far, he just hasn't been able to do it, but they're looking for big things from him. He's not a guy to come out of the bullpen for at least another year or so. I mean, they're going to try to, you know, this guy's got four pitches.
Right.
And they're going to try to see if he can figure it out in the rotation, and he may start the year in AAA.
Yeah, you know, we saw that last year in San Francisco with a 2-time Cy Young Award winner, that all of a sudden there were a lot of reasons people thought why, you know, Timmy Lincecum was having problems with his command. He was having problems a little bit with his velocity. I saw him in spring training, and he never pitched on the big field but once or twice. They had him over on the A-ball, pitching with A-ball and double-A guys because he just was having problems throwing the ball where he wanted to. And then all of a sudden, they, you know, in the playoffs, they bring him in out of the bullpen, and he looks like a Superman. I think that you're absolutely right about these guys. If they start thinking too much, if you've got a good catcher, you know, put down the pitch, give me the location, and just don't think too much. Just throw the ball to the mitt. And I think Weeders, I thought he did a great job last year. This is a guy that kind of has come along slow hitting the ball, but he's a good receiver, isn't he?
He's very good, very, very good. He's the type of guy that I know Buck Showalter is real happy having a guy like Weeders behind the plate, not only for just every day, but when they bring up a young pitcher, he makes sure that Weeders behind the plate when a guy comes up and make his debut or in situations like that where they know that they can just sit back and say, look, when Matt puts down a sign, you just throw it. You're going to figure this out. He's going to figure you out, and you're going to figure him out. But early on, he knows the hitters. You know, he just when he puts down something and tells you where to throw it, just execute that pitch. Don't try to be perfect. Don't try to be too fine with it. And I know he was great for Steven when Steven came up. Steve, you know, I told Steve, I said, you know, normally you're a guy that shakes off a lot and you have your own plan. He says, yeah. He says, I just trusted Matt, and whatever Matt put down, I threw, and it worked out great. So Matt is a big part of this club and a big part of this young pitching staff and the turnaround and what they've done, you know, behind the plate. When you've got a guy like Weeders back there as a young guy, the Orioles are very, very fortunate to have a guy like that.
Yeah, I like him. I like the size of the kid. You know, I guess Sports Illustrated came out with that big article on him several years ago, they put a lot of pressure on the kid, and he took a while to kind of get it together. He's a switch hitter, isn't he? I mean, the guy hits from both sides of the plate. He's a natural. He's a great athlete. Now, let me ask you, one of my favorite players ever with the Orioles is Nick Markakis. Nick Markakis is a guy that I don't know if he was Rookie of the Year, but he was in the voting when he was a rookie. He did a really good job. He's always hit right around 300. And last year, you know, he was if you had to point to who was their best overall hitter, you'd have to say it was probably Markakis, or at least him or Adam Jones. He got hurt last year in a really – it was bad timing. I mean, he got hurt right before the big push, you know, for the division, and was out the rest of the season. Is he 100%, Dave, right now?
Yeah, he's 100%. Yeah, he was out twice, and this is a guy that I don't think missed more than two or three games in the previous five seasons. So this is a guy that you always could count on him being healthy and being in there and being ready to go. But he got hurt, and then he came back, and then Buck put him in the leadoff spot the day after the All-Star break, and he just took that spot and just ran with it, hit over 320, I think 330 in the leadoff spot. And just did a tremendous job in the leadoff spot for the Orioles. And then Sabathia hit him on the hand, broke his thumb with about maybe 4 weeks to go in the season. And that really hurt the Orioles. I mean, for the Orioles to still be able to finish the way they did, win 93 games with their starting left fielder, missed 5 months. Markakis was out about a half a season, and clearly at the end with that big push. And, you know, basically didn't have a third baseman until August 9th. It was remarkable, but Markakis was so steady. He's healthy now, so hopefully, you know, everything goes well with him.
Listen, I can't help but I'm sitting here looking at the roster, and I'd be crazy if I didn't ask you about my favorite player on the Orioles. That's a kid named Johnson, but not the big closer, the other Johnson, Steven. How's Steve doing? And it looks like he's put on some weight. I mean, last time I saw him, he was a lot bigger than I've seen him before. Does it look like he's going to make the big league club this year? And if he does, what do you see him doing?
Yeah, I just think that there's about 7 or 8 guys that are going for right now what they would think about as the fifth starter spot. You know, and then they got a couple guys that are out of options. So if everybody stays healthy and pitches well coming down the wire, the Orioles could feel that they have a surplus, and they may make a deal to trade a guy or two at the end of spring training and pick up whether it's a younger guy or two position player-wise or maybe a bat that they want to solidify some offense and maybe in the DH spot or something. We'll see. But, look, I think at this point, when it comes down to the fifth spot, he's got as good a chance as anybody if he stays healthy and throws the ball over the plate. We'll see, you know, how it goes. But, again, you know, with Mattis, a guy who pitched out of the bullpen as well last year, Arrieta, Britton, Steve, they got P.J. McFarland, who's a Rule 5 pick they picked up. They kept Flaherty last year all year, so it wouldn't be unusual for the Orioles to keep a Rule 5 guy on the club all year. So there's, you know, there's seven or eight guys kind of going for that one spot in the rotation. Now, Steve does have going for him is that he did pitch well also out of the bullpen, so he could kind of be a swing guy if they needed him to. But Tommy Hunter, who looks to be maybe that guy at the moment, is out of options. So, you know, if he pitches well during the spring, you know, he may solidify that spot. So it's just up in the air. You know, from right now, 5 weeks to go, over 30 games to play, there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and then.
Dave, listen, I can't thank you enough. I tell you, last year it was so exciting for me. You know, I mean, you know, I'm a baseball coach, and I'm still around the game all the time, and I love to watch the Nats play. They had a great season last year. Basically, lost it. You know, blew a 6-0 lead and kind of killed their chances. But I was at the same time, you know, I was happy with San Francisco winning the National League pennant. The other thing is the Orioles, when they're playing this exciting baseball, you know, they haven't quite brought the fans back the way it was back when, you know, Ripken was there and the late 80s, mid 90s, you know, when you were there. I mean, that place was full all the time, but you could sense that the fan base was excited again. And I'm really hoping that they keep it up. I'm hoping that they, because, you know, I mean, anything can seem to happen in the American League East. I mean, you know, Toronto's got all these guys they're spending all this money on. Are they going to be good? You know, nobody knows, but, you said it. They have so much pitching, quality pitching. The Orioles, if they can score, you know, four and a quarter runs a game, they can win 90 games. And I'm really hoping they do. Dave, I can't thank you enough. We got to get together soon and play some golf. It's Dave Johnson, Masson analyst, anchor, you call. I mean, in my opinion, probably the smartest guy, baseball guy that I know. Dave, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Bruce. Nobody.
All right, buddy. Say hi to everybody for me.
All right.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We
do have the dude. Before we get into the dude, I'm going to extend a challenge to everybody at WFAS. Next week, Bruce and I are going to do all the things in the combine. We're going to run the 40. We're going to do the high jump. We're going to do the long jump. We're going to, you know, do it all.
All the things? I thought it was just 40 because I can't jump.
We're not doing vertical jump.
I'm doing it all. And we challenge everybody at WFAS to do it as well. So
we can do standing broad
scorecard,
jump.
Scorecard, you know, everybody. We challenge you. Challenge.
I'll even bring the broad that we jump.
I want to see what Kyle does. But we do have.
Wait, hold on.
We have Chris the Dude Lambert here on the line.
Hold on.
Well, you good now?
Nope, sorry.
What are you doing?
I was doing the
okay
laugh track. Sorry.
All right. Well, dude. Chris, you there, buddy?
How are you guys?
It's hard to find good help, dude.
Welcome to Amateur Hour on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
So this is Chris the Dude Lambert. He is the host of The Spin Zone, which is a part of SMC Radio, smcradio.com.
I just found out next year, East Carolina in 2014, July 15th or July 1st, we're in the Big East. Because my chancellor just sent me a tweet or a text and told me that.
So the big
sorry to hear about your loss.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's I've been trying to get East Carolina in the ACC for years, and if I was the athletic director there, I would just basically show up at an ACC meeting. And when all those Carolina guys start big leaguing us, I just take my forearm and just rip it across their desk and take everything into the wall. You know,
the Big East is a gateway drug to the ACC, so they've taken the first step to be in the ACC. So
well, you know what? The way it looks, dude, it's like anything can happen. Is that right?
Well, what we have to remember as fans is it's no longer a sport. It's an online, it's an ongoing business concern. And these decisions are being made strictly from a profit and loss standpoint. And you have these conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten who you are going to be making $20, $25, $30 million more per year per school you know, than the ACC and even potentially even the Big 12. And you've got these colleges who are looking at reduction in state funding. You know, they're having limits put on how their state funding can be spent in support of athletics. Title IX is a big concern. So revenue is what's driving all this. So just hold on, and East Carolina is going to be in the ACC before you know it.
I sure hope so, because, I mean, there isn't a better place. We're an at, we're like an hour and 15 minutes from Atlantic Beach. It doesn't get any more Atlantic Coast Conference than that. Let me – what
you
do
know,
you
– Oliver-
go ahead.
I was going to say Oliver Luck was a proponent of the Big 12 adding ECU in the Tidewater area.
Well, I got to tell you, it's bad enough having to take those airplane trips out to El Paso, yeah. Texas, to see UTEP and Houston and all that. Let me ask you a question. The Maryland Big Ten move was the one everybody's talking about around here. I see that move. I see Maryland doing it. I see why they're doing it. I heard early on, and you tell me if this is correct, because it may not be. Excuse me. I can't even breathe. We're the thing about it is that I heard that lacrosse had something to do with that. Now, Maryland has a pretty good lacrosse program.
Yeah.
Evidently, the Big Ten is trying to improve their lacrosse programs with all their schools. Does that have anything to do with them coming in?
Well, not really. The Big Ten is looking for inventory for the Big Ten Network, and lacrosse is a part of it. They're considering Johns Hopkins as a lacrosse-only
wow.
school. You know, if they get enough schools in lacrosse, you know, they can field a conference and be automatic qualifier. Lacrosse is big in the Northeast among rich white boys, I hear. But it's not – the primary factor for the Big Ten adding Maryland was the Washington, D.C., television market. It brings considerable amount of value, considerable TV sets, the Big Ten footprint. It also gives them, they have a bylaw about contiguous states, so states have to touch one another. Maryland is a gateway to Virginia, which is a gateway to North Carolina, which is a gateway to Georgia, and the Big Ten's expansion plans, which include Georgia Tech, UNC, and UVA.
Well, how did Roy's alma mater, West Virginia University, get left
He's
out?
He's a WVU
that?
Guy too.
Because they touch a lot of damn states too, don't they?
Well, you ready for this? You for the whole story? Or
yeah, yeah. I know absolutely. We got look.
We got time.
We got 6 minutes. Go for
How
it.
How much time you got?
Well, when Oliver Luck was hired as the athletic director at WVU, he had a couple of mandates. His first mandate was to get West Virginia out of the Big East.
Smart move.
Smart move. Well. Peterson, the athletic director at Pitt, and West Virginia and Syracuse and TCU teamed up together to try to save the Big East. They had started discussions with Maryland and Boston College to join the Big East. Maryland and Boston College were willing, and the basketball schools, the Catholic Seven, as they're now known, killed that deal. And West Virginia and Pitt gave the Big East notice that they were gone. West Virginia and Pitt had a deal worked out with the ACC that it would be West Virginia and Pitt to leave the Big East for the ACC. UNC and Duke blackballed West Virginia. They told West Virginia that they would never get into the ACC. As a matter of fact, Luck flew down to Raleigh and met with Swofford and the presidents of UNC and Duke. And I understand how it went is Luck and Clements felt personally insulted.
And you know, I believe that. I absolutely believe
true.
That. Oh, yeah. They big league East Carolina for the last 30 mm-hmm. years.
It's absolutely true. And that sowed the seeds for the ACC's downfall that we have now, because the two biggest supporters of West Virginia in the ACC were Florida State and Clemson.
And they're gone. And,
well, they are gone.
Yep.
That's how all this started. You know, the ACC made a basketball decision. Blackballed West Virginia, brought in Syracuse, and ESPN didn't pay for that. ESPN wanted West Virginia and Pitt. They wanted the backyard brawl. So the only way that John Swafford could save face was he agreed to add years onto the contract, which gave the appearance of adding money. The ACC's contract paid them at the base $16.9 million for 15 years and then had a balloon payment at the end.
Hmm. Wow.
So who do you think?
That's why.
Go ahead.
That's why Florida State and Clemson started looking around.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was my next question was about Florida State and Clemson. You've made the claim that they're the next team to move along with UVA. Where do you see those teams moving, and who do you think the next teams to move are?
Well, I'm pretty sure the next teams to move are UVA and Georgia Tech to the Big Ten as soon as we have a direction, at least for the outcome of the ACC Maryland lawsuit.
Boy, that's not going to hurt their academic standing at all. You know, the thing I like the most about the Maryland move was Maryland dropped something like six men's sports in the last year or two. And the one sport, I'm a high school wrestling coach. I wrestled at East Carolina for 4 years. I mean, I love college wrestling. The Big Ten is college wrestling. You know that. Maryland and Kerry McCoy. Kerry McCoy is like a three-time Olympic place winner. They saved Kerry. I just figured Maryland didn't drop that program because I didn't know about them leaving for the Big Ten at the time. I figured they didn't drop it because nobody wanted to tell Kerry because they would be in fear of their lives. But my point is that that's a perfect fit for them because now they go to the Big Ten. And they're a top 10 team anyway, Maryland, in wrestling. So, I mean, that's going to work out for them. I think football's going to take a while, but they should be okay in football after a while because you've got two or three teams in the Big Ten that are up and down anyway. Purdue's up and down. You know, Northwestern from time to time is up and down. Maryland just – I think they've got the right guy in place. It's not really a love-love relationship with his head coach there, but he's doing an okay job. Let me ask you this. When Georgia Tech and Virginia go – Virginia has a wrestling program. Will Georgia Tech – if they, because I would imagine Georgia Tech, because they are so diverse with their athletic programs, they're going to probably come in everything. They're going to have a wrestling team, I'm guessing.
Well, it depends on the charter of the conference. West Virginia was required to add sports as a member of the Big Ten. I think we're looking at adding men's golf. But, you know, Title IX has had a drastic impact on the athletic budgets of these schools. You look at somebody like Georgia Tech, who has revenues of like $60 million total.
Right.
You know, they just can't afford to keep pace with the federal requirements without additional revenue.
Right.
You know, again. You know,
but they'll have it now, right? They would have it now by going to the Big Ten.
They will conceivably, between the academic benefits of joining the Big Ten and the increase in television monies, if you just go by what the Big Ten has now,
right,
in 10 years, the difference between being in the Big Ten as opposed to the ACC is $1.3 billion.
Wow.
Wow. That is absolutely awesome. Well, you know, Georgia Tech, you know, is a great, great school. And you're right. It's not a big school, though. They don't have a whole lot of day students there. They just don't.
Yeah, and their alumni base isn't that large.
But they're pretty wealthy.
Really support athletics.
Yeah, they're very wealthy. I think they've got the largest, and this is true because I actually checked this a while back. They have the largest percentage of CEOs per student of any. You know, in companies in the nation, of any school in the nation. That's including Harvard, Yale, Georgia Tech, right?
Hmm. Well, that's true, but a lot of people have a misunderstanding about endowments and contributions. Most of the time, they have stipulated uses. You just can't take an endowment that's set aside for academics and use it to support athletics. That money is almost untouchable.
Huh. Right, right. Well,
so it's the revenue streams everybody's worried about.
So now, if Virginia, when do you see Virginia and Georgia Tech making the move? Is it going to be 2014, 2015?
2014 is that what I believe.
And when do you think they'll announce that?
Well, from what I can tell from my sources, they're both concerned not so much about the buyout because the Big Ten will help them with the buyout. They'll probably cover about half of it. What they're concerned about is the ACC withholding revenues.
Right.
You know, they're withholding Maryland's revenues currently until the lawsuit is settled.
Right. Well, that's going to be interesting.
Well, thanks, Chris, for coming on with us, buddy.
Hey, Chris, don't be a stranger, will you? You got our number now. Call us, because this is some interesting stuff. Everybody talks about it, but nobody seems to really know what they're talking about until we got you on the phone.
Well, thank you. I'll certainly come back.
All right, buddy. All right. It's great. Right.
Good show, man. Hey, and you can find Chris's show, The Spin Zone. You can find that on smcradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, all that good
stuff. He's a good dude. Smart dude. Hey, listen, we'll be back next week. We ended up knocking it out there, knocking it out of the park. You've been listening to Bruce
Hall's.
Yeah, we're going to be running the 40 next week, baby.